you're in his house.
Well, I think somebody better get up on their feet today and give Jesus a little praise. Amen. I mean, has he been good to you? Come on now, you can do better than that. Amen. 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 Hey, sit down. You're scaring all the new people. Come on. Listen, it is a joy and an honor and a privilege to be behind this podium today preaching the Word of God in this brand new building, and we're excited about that. But you know what we're more excited about than anything else? We're interested in brand new lives. Amen? I mean, I'm excited about the people that were baptized this morning. How many people were we baptized, Spence? Four or five? Is that right? I mean, man, that's awesome. I think that puts the baptisms at like 60 so far this year. And we're not even halfway through the year. Is that not amazing to you guys? I mean, it blows me away. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, building team, we didn't build this building big enough, evidently. Amen. Man, this is an awesome first service. This place is packed out. We've got every chair out. We had some reserved. We thought we probably wouldn't use those, but we're excited that you guys came and filled them up. The parking team's a little nervous today. I think you guys have taken every parking spot that we've got, and we give God praise for that. Now, the 11 o'clock service, that's what happens when you snooze, you lose. You know what I'm saying? We'll let them park down at the YMCA. We'll shuttle them in, whatever we need to do. Hey, I started to title this message, I'm Expecting. I'm Expecting. You know, before I had this surgery, I could stick my stomach out a little further than some of you pregnant ladies. Hey, guys, don't laugh, because I see some of you now that you look like you're with child, all right? A lot of times these couples come in and say, hey, Pastor Chad, I just want to let you know we're expecting. And I look at both of them and I think he looks like he's fixing to carry the baby more than she does. You know what I'm saying? And so instead of titling I'm Expecting, I'm going to title it today, What to Expect When You Are Expecting. What to expect when you are expecting. The Apostle Paul said this to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. One verse of Scripture, pay attention to it. Don't let it kind of go past your mind this morning. He says this right here. He says, My little children, he says, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, that you may have just let that go right over the top of your head. I'm going to read it to you one more time, and I want you to focus on it. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia, Galatians 4:19. He says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth. I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Today is Mother's Day. It's not just the 10-year anniversary of his house. It's not just the new service, the first service in a new building. It is Mother's Day. And, you know, the old saying is, where would we be without our mothers? I can tell you, you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be here today. And it sounds a bit silly to say that, but that's true. We exist only because they gave birth to us. In this text today, the Apostle Paul says that he was going through the pains of childbirth for something to happen in the church of Galatia. He was going through the pains of childbirth. You know, I got my mom a Mother's Day card. She's here. And I need to keep this for this service and the second service, so she won't really get this until after the second service. But I'm going to go ahead and read her card to her right now. This is what it says. It says, from your son. They say giving birth kind of stinks. And it's got this cute little picture of this little bird on here. And then when you open it up, it says, but you've got to admit I was worth it. Amen? Y'all believe that? I was worth it. And then it says, no pain, no gain, thanks, Mom. And I got real prideful about that. When I picked this card out, I thought, yes, this is me. My other two brothers, not so much so. But hey, listen, she got it right in the middle, child. And, you know, and I thought, that's real good. Then I turned it over on the back, and it says, okay, how about almost worth it? You know, almost worth it. Well, listen to me. I want to ask you something today. Do you feel like this place was worth all the blood, the sweat, and the tears? I mean, do you think it's worth the hard work and all that that God has birthed inside of us? I mean, I really do. Have you ever had a family member who you prayed for over and over and over again, and you thought in your heart, you thought, man, this is going to kill me before they accept Christ. This is going to put me under before they really get free. But when they come and they repent of their sins and they trust in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and when you see them being baptized in these baptismal waters, does it really enter your mind to think, oh, it wasn't really worth all of that praying that I did? It wasn't really worth all of that encouraging and all that poking and all of that prodding that I did? I mean, no, you rejoice in your spirit and you say it was worth everything that I had to go through because it was worth seeing them come to know Christ. Church, let me ask you a question. What does it take? What does it take today to give birth to anything? And is it really worth it? And if that's the two questions that you want to mull over today, my answer to those two questions are this. Just ask your mother. Just ask your mother if it's really worth it or not. Ask her if you're worth what she had to endure. Ask her if it was really worth what you had to experience, what she had to experience in her life. Ask your mother, is it really worth it? Folks, I'm going to tell you a few things about what to expect when you're expecting that I think you need to jot down in your little message notes in your bulletin today. And I want you to go home and stew over this because we're not just talking about giving birth to a church today 10 years ago. We're not just talking about giving birth to a new building that we're celebrating today. We're not just talking about a mother giving birth to you to come into this world. But we're also talking about the second birth. The Bible says that you need to be born again, that you can't just rely upon your physical birth, that you need a spiritual birth, and you need something that's much bigger than you. But not just that, once you get saved, God has a plan for you guys, and he's got a plan not to harm you, but a plan to prosper you and to bless you and to do good things in your life. And I want you to know today that God is wanting to birth something in your life, a dream, a vision, something that he wants you to be a part of, something that he wants to do only in you, and he can't do it in anybody else like he can do it in you. I want to ask you, are you going to allow him to birth something great in your life? Are you going to do that? What to expect when you're expecting? Number one, write this down. You first of all have to have a relationship. It involves a relationship. Now, this may sound rather obvious to you today, but the way that God made us, we can't really give birth by ourselves. I mean, listen to me. If you want to accomplish anything great in the kingdom of God, or if you just want to accomplish anything great in life at all, you simply can't do it by yourself. You can't. Giving birth to a dream involves a relationship with the one who put that dream inside of you, with the source of that dream. You can't do it by yourself. There has to be a relationship with the Father. God's the one that placed that seed of that dream down deep inside of you today. It wasn't necessarily something that you came up with, but I'm here to tell you today, without a relationship with the Father, it's really not going to come to fruition. Hey, I want to ask you something. Do you know that today that you're pregnant with something? Do you know that? That you're pregnant with something, that God has put something in you that he wants to nurture, that he wants to see grow, and he wants to see come forth in your life so you can accomplish great things for God? I want to encourage you today not to be a single parent, not to be a single mom. Get your relationship with the Father on track, and the result will be a much healthier family. It'll be a much healthier dream in your life. Jeremiah 29:11. I alluded to it a few minutes ago. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster." He says, "To give you a future and a hope." Well, if he's talking about a future and a hope, then you need to kind of look forward and think about what God could possibly have for you in the future. You need to have a little bit of a vision. You need to have a little bit of an outlook on what's going on. Why do I need that? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish." The people will perish. Folks, I'm telling you, the vision is the ability in your life to see what others cannot see. It is the faith to believe what others will not believe. It is the courage to do what other people say that can't be done. 10 years ago, here in Mayfield and Graves County, with 38,000 people and 26,000 people unchurched, there was a lot of people saying, "Chad, we don't need another church. We got over 144 churches in this county. Man, we don't need another church. Well, I agree with you. We don't need another church like the rest of the churches we got. Not that there's anything wrong with them. But listen, there needs to be some different strokes for different folks. We got a lot of people to reach. And when I told them what I felt like God placed in my heart, a lot of people said it can't be done. It won't happen. But see, that just kind of clarifies and it confirms my statement. Vision is the ability to see what others cannot see. They couldn't see a church. They couldn't see a need for a new ministry. They didn't have the faith to believe what other people would not. Folks, they didn't have the courage to do what other people said couldn't be done. I remember after we started the church, there's all kinds of people that come up and said, hey, God told me to do this 20 years ago. This is what God told me to do. Well, Buster, why didn't you get off your backside and do something about it? Amen? Folks, I'm telling you, faith, the vision in your life to dream big things that God's placed in your life ends up having results of courage to do what other people say can't be done. Vision without action is a daydream. Vision without action is a daydream. But I'm here to tell you today that action without a vision is a nightmare today. I'm telling you, the church today in our area and across the country resembles a football game which has 22 players on the field in desperate need of rest while 50,000 people are sitting up on the sidelines or up in the stands in desperate need of exercise. Listen, this place is not the end all. I'm here to tell you today, if that's your mentality, you need to get a checkup from the neck up and turn yourself around and understand that this is only the beginning of what God wants to do in the life of His house ministries, man. Guys, listen. Where there is no vision for a family, half of the marriages end up in divorce. Where there is no vision for financial freedom, you can expect to live paycheck to paycheck. Where there is no vision for a healthy body, you'll be fat and out of shape. Where there is no vision to make a long and lasting difference in somebody's life, you will stumble throughout life hoping for something better. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we," that's you and I, if you're here today and you're a child of the Most High God, raise your hand and shout amen today. If you're that person, I'm telling you, you are this person that God's talking about through Ephesians. He says, for we, you and I, the people of God, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that He planned for us long ago. Listen, here's a news flash. God has a vision for you in your life. Why in the world would you want to think up your own plan? Why in the world would you want to do your own thing? Why in the world would you be trying to plan out your own schemes and all that? What in the world could be more fulfilling in your life than what God's placed in your life? Hey, I asked some of the heroes of the Bible. God asked them to attempt the impossible. He told them to get out of their comfort zones to do something great for Him, did He not? I mean, can you imagine if they were like you and I? Noah would have said, hey, God, I don't do boats, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm telling you, David would have said, I don't do kingdoms and I don't do giants called Goliath. Man, I'm just a lowly shepherd boy. I mean, Moses would have said, I don't even like people, God. And Mary would have said, I don't do babies, especially not the very Son of God. I mean, these people would have said that sort of thing. If they looked and had their own scheme, if they had their own plan, if they had their own action. Folks, the biggest Goliath in most of our lives is ourselves. It's ourselves. You might ask, well, Chad, what will happen if I dedicate my life to a relationship with God? What's going to happen if I start this thing out with a relationship? I invite you again, ask your mama. Ask your mom what she thought about it. Ask her if that relationship proved to be valuable and fruitful and things of that nature. I would say she probably would say yes because you're here. Number two, write this down. If you're going to, you got to have an idea of what to expect when you're expecting because it'll require selflessness. A teacher asked a little boy this question. He said, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you. And she said, there's your parents and five children. She was teaching a class about fractions. She said, what fraction would you get? And the little boy said, a sixth. And the teacher said, well, hon, you don't understand fractions. Evidently, there's you and your four brothers and sisters, and then there's your two parents. She said, that would be a seventh. And he said, oh, no. He said, I understand fractions. He said, you just don't understand my mama. She would say she didn't want none, and she would give me her piece. That's what she'd do. Listen, guys, that's one of the greatest traits of a mother. I mean, is it not? A selfless act to give up their own wants and their desires and their own wills to help you out. I mean, my mom's in here today. I'm telling you, she had to raise us in a single-parent home, and she had to sacrifice some of the things that she wanted in order for her boys to have what they needed or what they wanted or whatever. It's just the very nature of being a mom. It's also the very heart of God. I mean, think about this. It's what brought him all the way from glory to the earth. The Bible says it's what took him to the cross, even to hell and back, literally. John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Guys, what in the world are you living for today? How in the world do you think that could compare to what God wants to do in and through your life? How in the world can you compare that? You may ask, well, Chad, will that be fulfilling? I mean, will that be fulfilling, that selfless act? I mean, Chad, I have a lot of deep-rooted needs in my life. I mean, if I don't take care of them, who's going to take care of them? Will I be satisfied if I give myself away? I got to ask you again. Ask your mother if it's satisfying or not. Ask her. Number three, write this down. What to expect when you're expecting? It requires perseverance. You may have noticed that childbirth involves pregnancy. Now, I know at some naive point in your life, like me, you thought that a stork carried this baby up in a cloth with his beak or whatever that thing's called, and he's flying over, and he just miraculously drops this baby down. I mean, I'm sure Kennedy, when Kylie was born, she might have thought that. She's probably like, get that stork and get back over here and pick this thing up. Let's take it back. I mean, it requires pregnancy, right? To give birth, it requires pregnancy. Folks, listen, before we grew up, that's what we thought. But then reality hit us, and everybody handles this period differently. I mean, they do. I've got the announcement before, Frankie, that somebody was pregnant with child, and man, as soon as that little line turned blue in that test strip, the next Sunday, that woman had her stomach out, and she kind of had the pregnancy waddle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just the way it happens. And then there's some people that makes the rest of you ladies sick, like Jamie Hill, who just had a baby, and she's on Facebook, and she looks like she stepped out of Vogue magazine. I mean, that's not right. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the pastorally speaking, I've been to the hospital, and most of the time when I come in and see you guys, and I don't want you to be offended or anything, but it looks like some of you just got through serving about three tours in Afghanistan, man. I'm telling you, your hair is matted down, and you're sweaty looking, and your gown's all messed up. Well, Jamie had her hair fixed up and had her makeup on. I mean, I thought, well, this is a picture afterwards, and they said, no. I mean, it's just crazy the extremes that you see people go through when that pregnancy is announced. But the fact of the matter is, you're waiting during pregnancy, and you commit to keep waiting, and you don't try to take shortcuts, because you know if you do, that could be very devastating, and if the baby's born before it's ready, it won't be healthy, so you just kind of hang around and just kind of hang in there. Guys, can I tell you something today? Success does not happen overnight. I got these guys that came up to me yesterday at this live remote that we had, and they're wanting to plant a church over in Callaway County and all that, and I applaud that. But they see things like this, and they think, man, this is what I want to do. They don't see the Turner Industry cafeteria building where we had to scrape things together. They don't see the high school where people would move things in and out every week. They don't see, oh, God, help us, when we moved into the Mayfield Cinema building. They don't see a burned-out movie theater building that we completely renovated. Man, we had RC Center workers that would come in, the jail guys, they would come, we'd pick them up every day. As long as we supplied them bananas and cigarettes, they were okay. I mean, they were like, let's do this. And so we renovated. They don't see all this blood, sweat, and tears that went into that building. They don't see us taking a horse barn, a literal horse barn that had a dirt floor, and renovating that building. They don't see all of that. They don't see the nervous breakdowns that this pastor and his staff had and the building team and all of that. And they think automatically that this stuff is going to happen. Success does not happen overnight. Let me just say something else to you. Success is not in a building. Success is in changed lives. And that doesn't happen overnight either. It doesn't. Anything worth having is worth waiting for. If there's anything that childbirth teaches us, is that good things come from long processes in our lives. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not," or if we do not lose heart. Guys, I've got to personally think. Some of you guys and gals around here that have been faithful, you've not grown weary in well-doing because you knew that this due season would take place and you would reap and if you didn't faint. I want to thank our building team for all of the meetings and all of the man hours and everything they put forth. I want to thank our board for all the decision-making that they had to go through and all the prayers that were prayed. I want to thank our staff for the, I'm telling you, many, many hours of selfless sacrifice that they would lay out in order to make a lot of this stuff possible. Thank them today for everything they've done. Amen? We thank them. I know some of you just want it to happen. But I'm going to tell you, there's some people who have stuck with this church even through some very difficult times. Y'all do know that pregnancy is not always a good thing. It's not always easy. It's not always pretty. Sometimes they have to go on bed rest. I've had a few building team members that want to send me home on bed rest, I'm sure. Want to get me out of here. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's like that. You have to fight with that stuff. Some of you are stuck with this church, man, through some very difficult times. Guys, do you know that as soon as you step out, you can put it on your calendar? I mean, as soon as you act on what God's telling you to do, mark it down. Your spiritual enemy is going to come and talk some smack to you. He's going to come busting in the doors. He's going to try to throw you off course. That's why I like my boy Paul. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 23, he says, "I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that blessings and pleasures are to come." Boy, did I mess that up? Is that what he said? No, the Apostle Paul said, "I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that only prison and hardships are facing me." In other words, what he's saying, there's going to be an enemy that's going to try to stop me from doing what God uniquely and created me to do. I mean, you can see it over and over through every Bible story that you can read. I mean, think about Moses. He said, "We got to get these people free." And then comes Pharaoh. I mean, think about it. Joseph said, "I've got this vision to be a great leader." But his brother said, "No, we don't like you, but we like your coat. We're going to throw you into a pit. We're going to sell you into slavery." Nehemiah said, "I got to rebuild this wall." But old Sambalit and Tobias said, "No, we're not going to let you do it." It's called predictable resistance. It's following through of that dream, and as soon as you do, there will be resistance. Let me promise you something. You take a step out on faith with God, what He's told you to do, and a lot of times all hell's going to break loose. It will. It will. If you don't believe that, come join the staff of His House Ministries and just get you a first viewpoint of what God does and what Satan does as well. It happens. I mean, it happens. The same thing in your life. It's what takes place. You get a vision to have a godly marriage. Let's be real. You have a vision to get a hold of a godly marriage, and you say, "Man, I'm going to quit living for myself. I'm going to start praying." And you and your wife get together and start praying, and you pray for the wrong thing, and the next thing you know, you got a shoe flying at your head. Predictable resistance. Or how about this one? You say, "God, I feel like you're telling me to do something in my life, and I'm going to take this new job." And as soon as you take that new job, maybe it's a financial sacrifice. And as soon as you do that, your washing machine or something valuable, something expensive is going to break by Friday. It happens. Or you say, bless God, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to go and I'm going to lose weight, man. It's a New Year's resolution. And you say, man, that's what I'm going to do. And you go into a grocery store, and as soon as you walk in, your intent is to go in and buy some fruit and some rice cakes and all that other stuff. And when you walk down an aisle, you find that ding-dongs have resurrected from the dead and they're now 75% off. I mean, it's predictable resistance, man. You've got to expect it. Think about this. This is a page from John Wesley's diary. I love this. This is what he said, the founder of the Methodist movement. He says, Sunday morning, May the 5th, I preached in St. Anne's and was asked not to come back. Sunday p.m., May the 5th, he said, I preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, preached at St. Jude's. I can't go back there either. Sunday p.m., May the 12th, I preached at St. George's. Kicked out again. Sunday a.m., May the 19th, preached at somebody else's, and deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May the 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during the services. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, he says, I preached on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. But check this out. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, an afternoon service, he said, I preached in a pasture, and 10,000 people came to hear me. 10,000 people. Church, listen to me. Sometimes it seems like the harder you try, it seems like the more the resistance comes. But if you'll keep Galatians 6:9 in and understand during pregnancy, it requires perseverance. If God's placed something in your life, you got to understand that you've got to be faithful to Him and not be weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap if you faint not. I wish I could give you a shortcut today, but I can't. I wish I could tell you that it's going to get easier, but it doesn't. You've got to just keep going. Giving birth is a process. Giving birth requires perseverance. The Lord says if you stay faithful, He'll bless you. You say, but Pastor Chad, will it be worth the wait, man? I mean, will it really be worth all the hardship that I face? Ask your mother if it was worth all the perseverance that she had to go through. I remember, man. I remember, like, reading this book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. I mean, I didn't read all of it. I just started reading through, and that stuff would catch my attention. As I read it, I found on page 159 a section talking about constipation and flatulence. And I said, oh, me. And then I turned over, and I saw this one particular section in here. I mean, this is real-life stuff. Talked about hair loss And then I turned over here and it talked about moodiness, his and hers. And it talks about to the guys, impatience with your wife's mood swings. I didn't know she had mood swings. Sympathy. I lied right there. Oh yeah, I didn't know if y'all caught that. Anxiety over life changes. And then I started reading about the first trimester and the second trimester and the last trimester. And those trimesters were a piece of cake. It's when the baby got there that things got hard. Was it worth it? Yeah, when Kennedy Brook Lamb was born on May 28th. And I saw her and I held her for the first time. You better bet your bottom dollar is worth it. When Kylie Beth Lamb was born on January 27th. I'm going to tell you right now. Glory filled that room. And the greatest blessing that I've ever received here on this earth, other than me being saved and my family being saved, was there, and it was evident right before me. All the doctor's visits, all the prenatal vitamins, all of the childbirthing classes, Leanne digging her fingernails in my arm as they was giving her the epidural, all of that stuff. All of that stuff was worth it. It was worth it. Check this out. Here's one of the last ones. You can expect some pain as well. We might as well face the facts here, Jack. Listen to me. I'm telling you, you will experience pain. We live in a world that's full of pain. Truth of the matter is, the first mention of pain in the Bible is talking about giving birth. So regardless of what you're trying to bring forth, it's gonna hurt. I can't even imagine what females go through, the kind of pain that you guys, gals, experience as you give birth. And I know it varies from person to person, from baby to baby and all that. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do to try to help alleviate that pain. I mean, I've seen some people think, well, I'll just get a C-section and that'll take care of it. But the wounds of that surgery have to heal. And a lot of times, the actual surgery part's worse than giving childbirth. Or you know, I can do an epidural, but that pain medicine will wear off eventually. And regardless of how that birth takes place, most mothers would have to agree today, it's certainly no walk in the park. It's not. You know, something I've just realized the other day, just a thought. The bigger the baby, the more it's going to hurt. I weighed over 9 pounds and something. 4 pounds of it was this head. Chris Holland's all the time looking at me. He'll stare at me, and he's from the side, and I notice there's always somebody on the other side when he's doing it. He's like, dude, your head's big. Your head's big. I'm like, God bless you too, Chris. I mean, can you imagine? I can't even think about it, but the bigger the baby, the more it's going to hurt. I mean, I've often wondered, sitting in that old office on the backside of that stage, I'm like, God, why has it got to be so difficult? But little did I know there'd be 750 people here today in the first service on opening day here in the facility. The bigger the baby, the more it's going to hurt. 1 Peter chapter 4, this is what he said. He said in verse 12, he said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But he says, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. He didn't stop right there. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, the Bible says, Paul says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. He says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Verse 22, he says, And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. In other words, this was not my idea. This was the Holy Spirit's idea. I am compelled by the Spirit, where the Spirit of God just pulls you and tugs you and just moves you. You can see something and think, that couldn't be, that shouldn't be. I've got to do something about that. There's something inside of me moving me out of my comfort zone to do something more. And the Spirit speaks, and then you go and you're like, now what? I think I heard from God, but I really don't know what to do next. Hey, I'm telling you right now, this pastor right here, sitting in a nice executive office with a big budget with buildings galore to do what I needed to do when I was preaching in front of about 1,000 people with the TV cameras going on a Sunday morning when I filled in. And I thought, man, I'm going to be here forever, but God stirred something in my life and says, get up, boy, I want you to do this. There's other people that you need to reach. And as soon as I walked out and I did what God asked me to do, I remember. I remember being in a little old blue office building that used to be a nurse's station in Bob Turner's building over there on Turner Industries. And I was in there with 3 other people. No more executive office. No more big budgets. No more big, beautiful buildings. And I was like, uh-oh, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I thought I heard from God, but I don't know what to do next. Verse 22. Next part of that verse, he says, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. In other words, I know I'm supposed to do this, but that's all I know. I'm not really sure what's going to happen next. Some of you are going to experience this. It's going to happen at different points in your life. You're going to be like, God's calling me to leave this secure job and start a business. I need guarantees, God. I need details. God's calling me to step out and go start this new church or this ministry or whatever. God, I need some details. You know what, God? We'll often say, I'm not going to give you the details. I'm not going to give you the details. Why? Because you can't handle the details. Remember A Few Good Men? Famous line, you can't handle the truth. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. You're saying, I want details. God's saying, you can't handle the details. That's what he was saying to Paul. God's given me a big vision, but how do we get there? I will do today what I can do to enable me to do tomorrow what I can't do today. So how in the world, man, Chad, are you sure, man, if I start this journey, man, if I knew it was going to hurt, I wouldn't want to do it. Why in the world would I want to do this, man, to give birth to an idea? Why would I want to give birth to a soul? Why would I want to knowingly subject myself to pain? Once again, ask your mom. Ask your mom. Last but not least, let me hurry. You will experience reward. Amen. Psalms 35 says, weeping may endure for a night, but baby joy comes in the morning. Amen? It comes in the morning. And that's the beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing about all of this. A birth requires a focus on a relationship. It requires selflessness. It requires perseverance. It requires even pain. And you say, Chad, was this relationship thing worth it? I mean, ask Jesus. Was his relationship with the Father, his selfless life, his endurance, his pain, was it really worth it? And he'll say, yes, it was, because you're here today. You're here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, not Wall Street, not the White House, not your pastor, not your spouse, not your kids, not your boss at work. It says, put your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's God called you to give birth to? It's not going to be easy. Is it going to be worth it? Will it be worth the selfless sacrifice, the patient endurance? Will it be worth the pain? Absolutely. Sir Francis Drake said this centuries ago. He said, disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Let that be your prayer. Let that be the prayer of his house. Isaiah 54:2 says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, His House Ministries, Pastor Chad, I pray that you have the same mentality. We will never, ever insult God with small thinking or safe living. Verse 24, Paul says this, I consider my life worth nothing to me. In other words, you can threaten me, you can beat me, you can ridicule me, you can cuss me, you can do whatever you want to. None of that matters. He said, if only I may finish the race and complete the task. Some of you are like, is it going to be worth that, Chad? Is it going to be worth all of it? I mean, is it really going to be worth me going through all this stuff? I mean, it's terrifying. Not sure I'm going to be able to handle it. Not sure I can succeed. Not sure I have what it takes. Oh, you do. You do. If you have a relationship with the Father, you've got what it takes. You've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. The same Spirit that got Jesus up out of the grave is living in you. Yeah, but Chad, will it really be worth it all? Why don't you ask your mom? Let's pray today. Father, we come to you, Lord. God, we pray, Father, right now that we would understand that you're wanting to do something afresh and anew in our lives. God, I know right now there are people here, they're thinking, but Chad, we've arrived.